I was never one much to do anything with April Fool's Day. Maybe you did, pulled little tricks and so forth and pranks with family members or whomever. But I did come across a couple of things that I wanted to share with you. And one of them was back in 1980. The BBC did a broadcast where they said that Big Ben was going to become digital. And it created a great uproar amongst the people of Great Britain as far as how would they possibly replace the hands of Big Ben and put a digital clock up. There was another one where Burger King came out and said they were going to sell left-handed burgers. And then Bush came out with one that had their newest brand of beans. Jelly beans. Some people attribute the traditions of April Fool's Day even back to the time of Noah and the flood. You might remember the story that after the rains ended that Noah sent the bird out. And as yet the water had not abated. And so it was an English expression, I believe, that said the bird was sent out on a sleeveless errand. A sleeveless errand. So I had to kind of go and look up, well, what they mean, sleeveless errand. And it's interpreted as unreasonable or useless. And so as Moses first sent the initial bird out, it was kind of a useless errand because the waters were still there and there was no place for it to land. But also then in Great Britain or Ireland, I believe it was, they came across a April Fool's Day prank that is related to that. And that is, someone was given an envelope with a name on it, told to deliver this important letter to that person that was named. And so they would bring it to that person. They would open up and there was a card inside that says, send the fool further. So they put the card back in the envelope and say, no, this needs to go to somebody else. They would then get it and open it up and see what was written. And they would then send them off to somebody else. And so this would continue probably infinitely unless the person just decided to give up. Send the fool further. Kind of a sleeveless errand, so to speak. And so we think of what it means then to be fools when we read this story, the parable of Jesus. He has a series here of stories of celebration. There is the lost sheep, where the shepherd goes and finds the sheep that is lost, and there's a great celebration. About the coin that is lost in the house, and the search goes throughout the entire house. When the coin is found, they celebrate. There is a relentlessness to the search until that which is lost is found. We read in Luke's Gospel how Jesus is interacting with tax collectors and with sinners. And this parable that Jesus shares is addressed to the Pharisees and to the scribes, the religious leaders who were self-appointed to define those they considered hopelessly irreligious, to point out those who were out of touch with the demands imposed by God, those who had set standards of purity and observance of the law. And so this parable you commonly know as the prodigal son, focusing on the son who is reckless and foolishly wasteful of the funds that he receives from his father. But also the emphasis can be played on the father. And the parable can be known as that of the loving father or the patient father. We have to understand that at that time under Jewish law, in this case, the elder son would receive 2/3 of the father's estate, and the younger would receive 1/3. Now, the father could distribute the estate at any time that he wanted, perhaps when he retired from the management of affairs, from the day-to-day operations. But what Jesus shares is a heartless request by the younger son, where the younger son is basically saying, give me my due. I want out. And in doing so, he abandons the relationship with his father and any obligations that he may have. But the Father grants his request. And then in the parable, we hear about the lavish spending of the younger son. Then he runs through all the money that he has. And the result is much personal suffering and anguish. But Jesus describes a transformation that comes over him. And he uses this phrase, he came to himself. He came to himself. And what this means is that Jesus is saying that being away from God prevents people to truly being themselves. Being away from his Father prevented him from truly being himself, so he came to himself. And you can only be oneself when you're on your way home, when you come home to God. And so the son decides to come home. He has a speech prepared. He will share with his father how he recognizes that he has sinned, that he's no longer to be worthy to be called a son, that he is to be treated like one of the hired hands. Now the hired hand is a servant that held no standing whatsoever amongst the family. The hired hand could be dismissed at any moment and sent off. It was even below the status of a slave of that day. A slave had a position within the family, was even often considered part of the family, but not the hired hand. But Jesus tells the parable then about how the father is waiting and watching. We don't know how long he had been. Perhaps that was his practice, each and every day, to wait and to watch. And when the son was far off, the father saw him. And the father was filled with compassion. He ran to him. He kissed him. He never even gives the son a chance to make his entire plea, to simply be looked upon as a hired hand. But the father calls out that the son is to be given a robe, which is a sign of honor. Put a ring on his finger, a symbol of authority. Sandals on his feet, which represents the freedom to travel, to come and go as one pleases. And there is a feast, a celebration, for it is time to rejoice. There are no recriminations, no retaliation, no accusations. I came across this wonderful picture that shows the father picking up his adult son, but the shadow shows the shadow of the father, but then the son as a baby. And then that how this represents the son is given new life. The son is reborn. It is a time of new beginnings. There are no expectations placed upon the son, but simply he has been found. Abraham Lincoln was asked about the South's return to the Union following the end of the war. And Lincoln responded by saying, "We will treat them as though they have never been away." The father will treat the son as though he had never been away. But then there's the elder brother. The elder brother must be saying to his father, "What is this, a joke or a prank?" The elder brother sees himself as a victim in all of this. "Look what I have been doing," he says. He even separates himself from his brother. "This son of yours," he says. He would rather see the brother destroyed than saved. The elder brother represents the religious leaders of the day who would say, "Look what we have been doing, how we have been following the laws and the traditions." There was a small insurance office, and it had been purchased, it had been absorbed by a much larger national company. And then there was a memo that was sent out one day where the people, the employees of the office, decided things had become too corporate. The memo said that they were to use their employee number for all of their correspondence and all of their communications. There's an uproar amongst the people of the office saying that everything had become too impersonal to be referred to as a number. One of the employees, though, read all the way to the bottom of the memo. And at the memo, they had written, "In our book, you're all number one." Happy April Fool's Day. You're all number one. Jesus not only welcomes the sinner, but seeks the sinner out. Pursues the sinner, looks for the sinner, in order to restore the relationship. Jesus' understanding of repentance is to turn back or to come home. To come home once again. There is a proverb that says, if every fool wore a crown, we would all be royalty. But if we read about the broad love of God, in which all are sought out. The broad love of God that washes away even our human foolishness. And we celebrate that foolish love of God. And even more so, how we are to represent such foolishness. I looked up the definition of fool. Of course, it talks about one who is lacking judgment or lacking, you know, appropriate behavior. But you know, often as you go to the dictionaries, you know, the real thick ones, they'll have like 5, 6, or 7 different definitions. Well, if you get down to one of the last ones, when you get under the word fool, it says, one with a marked propensity or fondness for something. And that's who we are. Having a propensity our fondness for our Savior. Through Jesus our Lord, who characterizes and shares the love of God, and how foolish that may seem to the world. And how then we are expressions of that love. And how others could look at us as being so foolish. Of being a people of welcome, being a people of acceptance, a people of love, grace, of mercy. We wear that label of fool. Amen.